Okay, everybody. It's Monday, August 2nd, 2021. Bible, the pajama optional podcast where we talk about sex and sex toys while promoting sexual empowerment to everyone, no matter how you identify or who you love. We always want to keep you nice on the streets, naughty between the sheets, no matter what we're talking about. And tonight's topic, or should I say this afternoon's topic, is growing up in a sex-positive household. So just a quick history. Many of you have seen some of my videos and have read our website and know that I didn't really grow up in much of a sex-positive environment. My mom never really talked to me about sex, and that's kind of what it was in the 60s and 70s with some parents. So how the hell I ended up selling sex toys and for a living is beyond me. I went from one extreme to the other. So basically, I started selling sex toys in the early 90s and did that for about 15 years and then retired and went into writing and, well, yada, yada, here I am. And in raising my kids, they were raised in this environment and everything. And I kind of became their friends' moms, and the next generation, which is my youngest daughter, I became mom to her friends too. And they always felt comfortable coming to me and talking to me about things, especially sex. I always raised my daughters to be sex positive and open and things like that. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because I have some very special guests with me in the studio with me today. I have my youngest daughter. This is Michaela.
Hi.
My oldest daughter is joining us from Colorado. Say hi, Shara.
Hello.
And we have another special guest who is one of my unofficial adopted children. Her name is Melissa. Say hi, Melissa.
Hello.
Okay. So I'm going to give this disclaimer so I don't get a bunch of shit mail. My children were never exposed to adult products or sexually oriented conversations until they were in their tweens. Okay. Mm-hmm. So don't freak out, folks. Plus, there will likely be a number of you who will disagree with my choice. Oh, goodness. With my choice of child rearing. And that's 100% okay. But I promise my daughters did not grow up to be sexual deviants. And I will let you judge for yourself. Okay, so we've already introduced Shara and Melissa and Michaela, who are in their own homes. And obviously, you can hear that they are very busy moms who also work. So are you girls ready to tell you the whole world how I scarred you for life with sex toys?
I'm sure. Delighted
to. Okay. Well, first of all, I want to start out with Melissa. I wanted to ask you a question. And would you mind telling the listeners how you became friends with Shara and kind of an adopted member of this crazy family?
Well, that's an interesting story. We had a mutual sixth grade teacher who Shara had, I believe, defaced the back of a chair with this teacher's name, calling her a derogatory name. And I, in the following period, had sat in that same seat. And so I was tracing Shara's artwork from the period before, and I actually got in trouble for it. I did not rat her out. And I think that that was the beginning of our friendship, that I took her.
Okay. Well, I mean, I remember you two not really getting into too much trouble together, but I, you know, understand being around you as you were growing up, you turned from this sweet little Catholic girl to a very frightened teenager having a, oh, what was it? Shara put a trash bag over your head and
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember that.
And what is it you call that? You blowing a what?
Huh?
What is it? What is it you guys called that?
I honestly don't remember.
maybe hotboxing might have been the term for it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We were hotboxing something. I won't disclose what.
Hey, you live in Colorado, so
exactly.
Okay, so Now I have a question. This goes to all three of you, and you can, you know, take turns, whoever wants to speak about this, if you have something to add to it. Just what effect did growing up around sex toys have on you now and when you were younger? Oh, tough question.
Well, I was pretty just ignorant of everything. I was just so clueless. And so it was like a whole new world opening up, and that this was something that, oh my goodness, people talk about this. And it was very, I think it was very comforting in a way to know that these questions that I had were okay. And that my parents weren't necessarily like stingy or anything like that. They were just very, very surface level. For example, I remember being probably about 9 or 10 years old and seeing a commercial for tampons. And I remember leaning over to my mom and saying, "Mom, what's a tampon?" And her eyes got very big, and she goes, "It goes inside." And that was it. Like, nothing else.
In my ear?
Like, and I was very confused, but also very curious. And I was like, okay, well, that her reaction kind of showed me that it was, you know, it wasn't necessarily something that we talk about when we're watching The Simpsons on Friday evening, you know? And so being able to then, when I was about 12 or 13, being able to meet Shara and meet you, and like having all of these questions being able to not only be answered, but just to be okay to ask, was just so freeing. And so I think it really made me more comfortable with myself, and it kind of gave me more of a voice to be able to talk about things that just before weren't really brought up.
Okay. Well, Shara, do you?
Well, as in adulthood, I would have to say it's made me more open. I have noticed in my current relationship and previous relationships that, I've always been the one to say, "Hey, let's go get some toys." You can tell that the men were all raised in a different kind of environment, because we'd both walk into the shop and the man that I'd be with would turn bright red, and I'd be like, "Hey, look at this one. It has 5 different functions and speeds." And yeah, it's kind of rocked their world. Totally. But I don't know. It just seemed like a normal to me.
Yeah.
Because of how I was raised, I'd have to say.
Then what about you being the baby, Michaela? What do you?
Honestly, like, I can't ever remember a time where it wasn't just like a normal thing that was just a part of conversations and just, I don't know.
Okay. Well,
just
go ahead.
I don't know. It's just hard to really explain like what kind of effect it had, because like, I don't know, it just feels like a normal thing. Like, I've never felt like shamed for it.
Just a normal part of everyday life.
Yeah. It's just a normal thing.
Yeah. That, you know, being a, you know, normal part of everyday life, if it'll give the audience a way to gauge this. A few days ago, I was getting ready to head out to go to physical therapy and noticed that my legs were a little stubbly. So I grabbed my electric razor and brought it out, and I thought, oh crap. So I stuck my head out the door and I said, "Just in case you guys wondering, I'm in here shaving my legs, not testing any sex toys right now. It's actually a razor." So that's just the normal part of this household. And, you know, yeah, it kind of has been for a long time.
It'd be like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, do any of you recall a specific time where you just suddenly realized, wow, this is sex stuff? I mean, this is really adult shit here.
I would have to say in my tweens, you were doing at home parties at the time, and you just handed me something. It said, "Here, blow this up."
I started blowing it up and I realized it was about a 4 foot tall inflatable penis. Because of course at this time I had sex then, so I knew what a penis was. I just remember scratching my head going, I have no clue what mom needs this for, but okay.
Oh my God. Anybody else? Michaela, you?
I don't know, honestly.
So nothing that sticks. Because Michaela, you know, she was born into this. Shara, it was kind of introduced.
That's why I'm having a hard time. It's just like, it's just been a part of, like, normal life. Like, I don't know.
Thankfully, you never had to bag grandma's order. I will never forget that day for the rest of my life. I remember when I put in that bag and then I pulled the tag and it had grandma's name on it and I'm starting.
No. Yeah. Let's explain that to the audience real quick. When I was selling sex toys, it was doing a home party plan. Everything was shipped to my house and I would take everything. Everything was put in brown paper bags, very nondescript. And they were closed and the person's name was put on the outside of the bag. So then that way the hostess had no idea, but from time to time I would enlist my kids' help to bag the products. And I think I scarred my daughter for life seeing that her grandmother actually ordered a sex toy.
It was Cherry Cola Goodhead. I don't even want to know.
Oh my God. Rest in peace, mom. You know, we love you.
But cherry cola?
Yeah, well.
Jesus Christ. What?
Oh. Yeah, well, we got a good story about Goodhead coming up here in a few minutes. Okay, so.
I would say for me, I remember that, like, during one of those parties when, like, I made my first purchase. And I just remember feeling like, I was probably barely 18. And it was the very first check that I had written in as an adult was for my purchase.
Wow.
I felt very adult
to me. Hell yeah.
Oh my God. I never realized that one of my sex toy parties was the first check you ever wrote. That's crazy. That is crazy. So
that's great.
So basically the next question was going to be if, you know, did growing up in an open sex positive environment make you feel odd or uncomfortable or different in any way?
I'd have to say no. I mean, it was a part of life for me because as I was entering preteens and was starting to be curious about sexuality and everything, that's kind of when I was introduced into it. So it all kind of hit me all at the same time and it's just became a norm for me.
You? I remember a couple of times in elementary school getting made fun of because kids were like, oh my God, that's gross. How do you know all that stuff?
Say, because I'm smart and I'm lucky.
It's like, I mean, like, I appreciate like being raised in like an open environment, but also at the same time, like being in an area where just about everybody else around me was not like, you know, educated about the kind of stuff. And, you know, you've got parents that are like shame you for it and who won't even like talk about it themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. It was kind of weird, but at the same time, I am thankful that I had a parent that was, you know, willing to go the extra mile to educate me about that kind of stuff, because it's kind of surprising. A lot of friends that I had who were completely clueless about a lot of stuff that seemed just like secondhand knowledge to me, even when I was just in my early teens. It was just kind of crazy. Like, I don't know. It just felt like, I don't know, almost like betrayal, not being, you know, told about this kind of stuff, like, because it's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really did help out knowing how to keep ourselves safe.
Yeah.
When we did start becoming sexually active, we already knew what a condom was. We knew how to put it on correctly. We knew how to keep ourselves safe.
Well, that was one of the most important things as a mother. I felt that I wanted to pass along to my daughters, you know, and I'm sitting here talking to the audience and really, to give you an idea, I was a very young mother. Shara is really old enough to be Michaela's mother, if that gives you an idea of the gap between my kids. So as a teenage mother, that's the one thing I didn't want my daughters to go through. And, you know, just the whole sex toy thing just kind of came after I already had my mind set that I wanted my daughters to be educated and to be empowered and to know what they could do in order to keep themselves safe from sexually transmitted diseases, as well as pregnancy. And I didn't want them to have to grow up missing their teenage years, kind of like I did.
And we could still have fun and explore at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it was really important for me just to kind of see you as, you know, a woman owning a business too, like that, aside from the sexual content and all of that, like just seeing you being just a badass mom. And like that, I feel like that was very empowering to me, because I was like, okay, yeah, like she owns it and she's just like throwing it all out there and she's doing what she does. And I remember like just being very motivated by that and being just very inspired to just kind of come into my own as a woman.
I appreciate that. I can honestly say at the time it was one of those do or die kind of situations, being a single mom with two kids, one of which was terminally ill at the time. And you just kind of do what you need to do to take care of things. And I fell into this on accident, having a sex toy party as kind of a girls' night in while my kids were gone. And all my friends are like, you have got to do this. You would be good at this. And so, you know, I just did it. I never thought of it any other way, but I was making a living at something I was good at doing. And it just kind of became woven into my life at the time. But okay, so we've talked about a lot of the seriousness and everything. We know you guys are not sexual deviants or anything. Thank God. Let's talk about a few funny things, because when you have a huge collection of sex toys laying around and it's just something that's very normal and everything, I want to talk about a few things, little funny things that have happened. Like, you know, for instance, one Thanksgiving, we were sitting here. My younger brother was sitting here watching television, and I pulled out a huge cyberskin dong and smacked him upside the head with it. Simply because my brother is extremely homophobic, and he was just completely just freaked him out. And, you know, of course, my mom's in there. Stop slapping your brother with rubber dicks. It's not nice. And then, of course, Michaela coming out at a dinner party we had. She was probably about 3 or 4 at the time and had found a pink jelly vibrator in my nightstand and stood there in front of everybody shaking it. And it kind of bounced up and down saying, Mom, what is this? It's a massager. She'd look at it. She'd look back at me, wrinkle her eyebrows and say, no, tell me what it is. Really? And she was shaking it the whole time.
I knew you were lying to me. And everybody was laughing at me. I'm like, you're lying to me. I know it. Why is everybody laughing?
The angrier this toddler got, the harder she shook this thing. And the more it went boing, boing, boing in her hand. And of course, everybody was practically on the floor by the time she finally just gave up and said, grown-ups are weird. And she just walked out, put it back where she found it. So here we go. I am going to direct this question to Melissa, and not to put you in a hot seat, but this story still sticks with me today. So I recall getting a frantic call from your husband, Chris, one day. It was something in regard to your oldest child finding the mystical mint good head.
Yes.
I'm going to share that story.
You know, just as a point of correction, it was actually the cinnamon good head.
The cinnamon. Okay.
Yeah. We had a very a nosy kid who just happened to get into all sorts of things, and he came out with the good head in one hand and was just going, and we were like, oh, nothing. And so, of course, all of the panic, and he's probably like maybe, I don't know, 3-ish, 4-ish, something like that. And so I am freaking out, and I'm like grabbing it and looking at it to see, like, you know, what, you know, if it's going to be a problem, if it's ingested, because this kid has no qualms whatsoever about eating anything. And so I said to Chris, you gotta call Edie, like, she will know, like, just call her, and she'll know the details on it. And so that's what led to that phone call, and I really appreciate you calming our nerves that no, it's not toxic.
Yeah, you are not going to have to take your kid to the hospital and tell them that he ate from your tube of penile excitement cream. So
yes, I think your comment was his mouth might be a little numb, so he might drool a little bit. But that's probably about the end of it. So
that would have been an awkward poison control center call,
right?
Yeah, that definitely would have been. So anybody else think of any amusing memories surrounding this crazy life we have had?
Honestly, I had a very similar experience to yours with Michaela finding the toy. It was just shortly after we moved to Colorado in 2018. We were just kind of staying in a temporary apartment and didn't really have a room to keep my toys in, but I had some pretty expensive, like the rabbits and stuff that I didn't really want to get rid of either because I didn't have a place to hide them. So I tucked them into a bag, and I remember putting them in the closet in the bathroom in the little apartment we were staying in. And my oldest daughter, she was probably 7 at the time, comes out of the bathroom with my rabbit on pulsate. It's gone. She's like, Mom, what is this? And I just remember my fiance at the time, his jaw hit the floor, and I just stood up real quick and grabbed it from her. I said, it's a massager, don't pay it no mind. And I just took it back and put it up. That was pretty embarrassing. And at this current moment, I have no idea where my hot pink bullet is. I keep checking my 6-year-old's purses because she likes to steal things that are pink. So the bullet is now MIA. Pray for its safe return.
Oh, I hope that doesn't show up at school, because that's going to be an awkward conversation.
I'm going to completely skim through everything before she goes to school, because she is known to do that kind of stuff.
I can so see her bringing it.
Those are definitely my grandchildren.
Pretty princess wand.
Watch it race across my desk.
Yeah, it's cute little bunny on it.
Speaking of racing, I think Melissa let the cat out of the bag a couple of weeks ago. She said something about you girls having a vibrator racing contest with part of my kit while I was out of the house.
Oh, I believe it. I'm not going to lie. I have smoked a lot of Colorado's finest in the meantime, but I don't remember a lot from back then, but I could totally see us doing that for sure.
I have a vivid like flashbulb memory of it, of just seeing these different devices vibrating across the floor, and some are going sideways and some are kind of going in circles.
Who wouldn't want to have fun with them?
You guys just had an innocent way of having fun with them back then. Now you know what you really do with them.
Yes.
So they're not meant for racing?
No, they're not meant for racing.
Or lightsaber fights?
No,
lightsaber fights. Can I do it anyway?
Well, okay. So let's move on to another question. Poor Shara murders her children.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right. Do you believe that your sex life would have turned out differently had you not been brought up in this type of environment? Who wants to take that first?
100%. And I first have to say that before we started on this podcast, Chris asked me to thank both you, Edie, and you, Shara, for your influence on me.
Because he has benefited
from that. Exceptionally. So.
Well, I am quite honored, and you are welcome.
Proud to be a bad example.
and kind of like what Michaela was saying earlier about, you know, being that friend who kind of knows more about what, you know, what's going on and about being human. I mean, really, Shara, you were that for me. I can remember one time, had to be like maybe sixth or seventh grade, that like I had said something that like I thought that the testicles were on top, and you were like, "What are you talking about?"
I'm like, what?
No, I've blown up a few of these.
Are you standing on your head?
And you said they're not Mickey Mouse ears. So like I very much appreciate that. Just being able to have that conversation and have those inaccuracies pointed out to me before I met a partner and was horrified or disappointed. I don't know.
Why are your balls hanging? They're supposed to be on top. Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Very telling interesting. Me it's not a wig.
Oh my gosh. I have to stop right here for a second though. Like I said, we are using Zoom for this first podcast, where we have guests, and we haven't paid for Zoom yet. We wanted to see how it went. And this was supposed to be a 40-minute show. And I just had this lovely little gift box pop up on my monitor that says, "Hey, Zoom would like to give you a gift. Your 40-minute time limit is no more." So we get to keep right on recording.
Okay.
Cool. So we get to have some fun, because I really didn't want to cut this short because we're having such good conversations. So much fun. So all of you agree that your sex life would have turned out differently had you not been brought up in this environment?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I totally would have been a pregnant teenage mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally would have.
Well, that and you, Michaela seems Thank to be God. The more modest of my two children. Shara's very outspoken. You hear Shara giggling. Yeah, Michaela's the softer spoken one, the more modest one, and Shara's the one that just does not give two shits.
Nope.
I aspire to be like that, though.
She aspires to be like her big sister. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, now here. All right. This is an important question, and it does have a little bit of a backstory to it. And Michaela, you're off the hook for this one.
Okay.
For right now. Okay, the question first, and then I'm going to give you a little backstory to it and then reiterate the question. How important to you do you think it is for parents to be open and honest with their children about sex and sexuality? So, for instance, I recall Shara being about four, and she figured out that my then husband was not her biological father, which then led to a tirade of questions about babies and where they came from. So rather than spinning a fairy tale about storks or cabbage patches, I grabbed our family encyclopedia. This is one of these big, old, honking 30-pound encyclopedias that had like human body illustrations. And then you would take and put like these clear plastic overlay pages, and then it would build like the rest of the anatomy. So I showed her the anatomy of a woman and the anatomy of a man. And hold on a second. Okay. I just muted Shara there for a second. Shara, you should hear us, but I will unmute you here after I'm done reading this.
You got banned.
You just got banned for a minute. But anyway, I showed Shara the anatomy of a woman and then one of a man. And I basically said people were made to fit together. So when a mommy and a daddy love each other, they get together and they make a baby. And she was satisfied with that answer. And she just went back to playing with her dolls and having her little tea party. Mm-hmm. So again, I'll reiterate, and
let you guys answer. If you think that it is important for parents to be open with their children about sex and sexuality, Melissa, you can go ahead and go first.
Yeah, I absolutely think that it's absolutely crucial, especially when you kind of look at it from the perspective of a body safety perspective, being able to let kids know what the appropriate names for anatomy are it's so important to be able to have that conversation with kids. If, God forbid, if something was, you know, happening to them that they were being abused or assaulted, for them to be able to have the language to be able to put a voice to what's going on to them. I think from a safety perspective, it's absolutely crucial. And then just from the understanding of, you know, you're a human and this is your body and this is how it works. And, you know, this is what you have to do to take care of it. And this is what it's, you know, going to be used for. And, you know, these are the functions. And I love your example about the encyclopedia, because I was the nerdy kid who was actually like in the library looking up books and encyclopedias of things, because I was so clueless once I found out what went on top and what went on bottom. I needed to find some more information, more accurate information. And so I think that even though it was a good thing for me to be able to independently look up those things, I think having that connection with an adult that you can go to and that you can talk to and you can ask questions, I think it's just so huge in a young person's development.
Yeah, I absolutely think so too. Obviously, I didn't want my daughters to turn out like I did. Shara is still on mute. I've been asking her to unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay, we can hear you now. So
I was waiting till everybody stopped speaking. I apologize. My husband's apparently having a hard time with the kids upstairs. believe it or not, I'm in the basement. I would have to say I've kind of modeled my parenting after yours. When it comes to this, I've had my 10-year-old daughter already come to me with questions. And though I don't have an old family encyclopedia, we have this wonderful thing called Google. Yeah. And the first time she asked me while I was pregnant with her next, the second child, she asked me how a baby was born. So I pulled up a wonderful YouTube video of a home birth and I let her watch it beginning to end. And what really blew me away was I thought she was going to come at me with, "Oh, that's gross," when the baby came out. But no, she took a deep breath and sighed and said, "What a miracle, mommy."
Wow.
I was always open to take her, since I was a single mother with her for a while. I'd take her to all of my OBGYN appointments for the pregnancy, and mm-hmm. she was never afraid to talk about her body and whatnot. Even the doctor praised me on that one. So yeah, I'm definitely open. I want my kids to feel comfortable coming to me. When they do decide to become sexually active, I'm not going to tell them sex is forbidden. You can't do this. It's the devil. I want them to feel open about their bodies. It's their bodies. It's nobody else's opinion. It's everybody does their own thing in the bedroom. And I want them to feel free to come to me so I can make sure that they're safe as well.
Which I couldn't agree with more. You know, also being open about sexuality with your children, even when they're young and they start asking questions, you know, when you start spinning these little fairy tales and telling them untruths about their bodies, that doesn't play very well if your children get into a situation where they're molested or, you know, touched inappropriately. You know, they need to understand that, you know, those are very special areas. Those are very private areas. And, you know, it's not something, "Oh, hey, go to school and, you know, talk about what mommy told you about your vagina." you know, there's a fine line. But most of the time when you tell these children that these are very grown up things you're learning, they tend to keep them to them themselves. I know you guys didn't, you know, go around telling everybody about, "Hey, my mom's got a ton of vibrators at the house."
No,
or anything like that.
I just told Melissa where the balls go.
Yep. Where the balls go.
I am so glad that we straightened that out for Melissa's sake. And, should I say, especially for her husband's sake. She knows where the balls go. But, you know, and Shara talking about her youngest child, the thing is when her children were born, you know, you're allowed to have people in the room with you. And that's one thing Shara insisted upon was having her little sister there to watch every grueling, bloody second of it, I believe is how you put it. She wanted to basically scare her into keeping her knees together. I remember a conversation with a nurse because of, you know, Michaela at that time was underage and she had a problem with it. And Shara,
13.
Yeah. Shara basically told her what for, why she wanted her in the delivery room to see every minute of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a pretty rough birth too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michaela, I remember trying to take a nap on the couch because I was tired and it was like epidural time.
Yeah, so she basically knows exactly what happens when you have a little bit of fun. Like my grandmother used to say, goody, goody going in, helly, helly coming out. Pretty much. Okay, so I want to have a little bit of fun now because this is always, you know, always the whole idea behind these also, you know, learning and, you know, talking about people who, you know, have grown up in this type of environment as opposed to people who are, you know, very unknowledgeable about sex toys and things. And some people are just downright scared of them. I am going to address this to each of you and let you answer. What was your first sex toy? Who wants to go first?
Okay, I have a point of clarification.
Okay, Melissa, go.
Do we mean like the first sex toy specifically designed as a sex toy, or the first thing that was like rounded up for a sex toy?
Let's just go ahead and say the first thing that you basically masturbated with, and then we can go and name the first sex toy you purchased. How's that?
Okay.
Are you there, Melissa?
I am. I'm blushing, honestly. I would probably say there was a, it sounds so stereotypical, but a solid, trusty ball of socks, man. That was the go-to.
You go humping those socks. Hey, I mean, if it worked, it worked. I mean, hey, but okay. So as far as sex toys go, what was your first purchase? Do you remember?
Well, yeah, it was the one I bought the chip with, paid with a check for.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's blue and it like stuck into a, it had like a suction cup on the end. It didn't have any like, it didn't have any mechanical parts or any bells or whistles or anything. I was too, I was working my way up to things.
So it was a suction cup dildo.
Yes, yes. And it was bright blue. And
bright blue. There we go. Okay, Michaela, what was yours?
What was your first sex toy that you bought?
That I bought?
I think it was just some like dinky little wand thing that I found on Amazon.
Okay, so you ordered something from Amazon?
Yeah.
Okay. You just don't sound too thrilled about that.
No, it was shit. It was bad. I'm like, I've got $20 and I spent the $20 on the worst, for probably the worst product on the site.
And you should have come to me and asked me, and I probably would have been able to find something much better for your money.
I was, despite it being an open topic, it hasn't kept me from being embarrassed about it. So it's still just hard to talk about.
Like I said, yeah. This is the modest one in the family.
Yeah.
Totally, completely modest. Shara, do you remember yours?
Pretty clearly. The first masturbation was definitely the good old trusty shower head. Gotta love the shower massagers, right?
Yeah.
But once I got to the point where I was getting toys, my first toy was actually, you were liquidating your first, one of your first kits.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I got one of the good old fashioned rabbit pearls with the beads in the shaft of it.
Yeah.
Back before everything was rechargeable. So you had to always constantly buy batteries for it.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure a good old rabbit pearl only lasted about a year before I got me an eager beaver.
Yeah. Was that the one that had, okay. Now the one that you got for me, was it the one that had the face carved in it? Because I recall you having one that had a face carved
in
it.
That was the eager beaver. It was, okay. It was the face of a woman. The shaft of it was like a standing, almost looked like an Eskimo type woman. And then it had the clitoral stimulator, which was the little beaver. It did the trick. It lasted me a few years before I moved on from there. But definitely those two were, I started out with some good ones.
Yeah, obviously. So, I mean, you were getting them from my kit. So
yeah.
I carried a lot of good things back then. I'll admit up to the time that I started selling sex toys, it was just, I just used my finger. And, but my very first sex toy did come from the party that I had that also brought me a job. And it was the original rabbit pearl vibrator, the one that was seen on Sex and the City, and had the great little shaft that you could bend and it turned. That was awesome. I don't know why G-Spot rabbits don't have that twisting shaft anymore, because that was
my
just...
My rabbit's boring now compared to that old rabbit pearl.
Yeah, because you could actually bend the shaft. The shaft was short, so that way, as it would turn, it would rotate and it would hit the G spot perfectly. And then, of course, the bottom of the shaft was this round area that was filled with different colored beads that kind of massaged the vaginal opening at the time. And then, of course, the amazing bunny ears and. If I'm not mistaken, I can't remember if those are the ones that had the corded remote. I do believe the originals had a cord with a remote.
Mine had the remote built on underneath the bunny.
Okay.
It had like five buttons.
Yeah. So you had the self-contained, because they changed it from the cord with the remote to the self-contained unit, which made it a little bit heavier. But all I know is I think I burned my first rabbit up in like 2 months, completely burned the motor up and had to get another one. So yeah, I tore that toy up. But as a matter of fact, Michaela and I were at Cirilla's a couple of weeks ago looking for something for one of my podcasts. And we actually found one of the original rabbit pearls, the hanging on the wall, and they wanted like $79 for it.
I would have bought that.
That's expensive.
Yeah. I mean, expensive for the technology, considering it's like a, the jelly material and everything, you know, you get a $79 sex toy for, you know, you can get a silicone thing, but the whole idea is I would have loved to have taken it out of the package and played with it to see if you could still bend it like you used to get that extra G-spot stimulation. But yeah, I mean, they still make them. And
well, you see it again, you buy it and you let me know and I'll pay you back for it.
Okay.
You're just going to have to ship it to me. They didn't have it. I went to Cirilla's and that's where I bought my current bunny, which is a rechargeable. It's the bunny G.
Uh-huh.
And it's okay, but it's just got one button for every control and it doesn't gyrate. It doesn't, the shaft part doesn't move at all.
Uh-huh.
It just hooks in and has the G spot. So yeah, that's what I was looking for, but Cirilla's didn't have it at the time. Lucky
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know a lot of the G spot rabbit vibrators now, they don't have the turning the way the original did. I know some of them have a thrusting. Some of them have thumping, which I haven't tried any of those, but I recently got to try the 50 Shades of Grey. It's called the Greedy Girl G-Spot Rabbit Vibrator. And although it didn't have any motion to the actual shaft, they have a motor that sits right in the tip. So as opposed to being on the shaft where you kind of get those kind of vibrations, this year getting a powerful, powerful G-spot stimulation. I really like that one. I think I'm going to make it a point to go through and try some of the newer ones to see how good they are. But I'm sorry, somebody needs to reinvent the rabbit pearl, make it affordable, make it out of silicone, and let's get that shaft rotating again. What do you ladies
think? Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That sounds nice.
Somebody needs to do that. So now for another question, I'm going to ask, what is your favorite sex toy of all time that you have used? Shara?
Rabbit pearl.
Yeah. I was getting ready to say, need I even ask?
No, you shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, come on, people, sex toy companies, bring it back. Yeah, if they don't have a patent on that, that could be the thing. They may have a patent on the turning, the whole shaft turning thing. That might be the thing.
I mean, the new ones are fun and all, but my wrist gets tired trying to make it do stuff. So I need the gyration. Come on.
Well, what about you, Melissa? Do you have a favorite?
There is one, I don't know a name because it was just, it's some German creation, that I don't even remember where I got it. I probably ordered it online. But it's just a clitoral stimulator, mm-hmm. that it actually looks like an 80s lipstick, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like a bright pink cap and a teal green bottom, and it's reusable, and it just like it is, man. If I'm in a hurry, it is like a minute, like done. It is efficient, and so, yeah, I appreciate the efficiency of it.
Yeah, so no dinner,
mom, so gotta get it off when I can.
No dinner, no foreplay required. Just bam. Done.
Yep. It's waterproof, so I can take it in the shower. It's just
kind of need that with kids, right?
Exactly. I'm like, I don't have time to sit down and make an event out of this. I just
Michaela, do you have a favorite one?
The Satisfyer Pro 2 that you bought for me.
Yeah. That's another thing. When we made that trip to Cirilla's, I kind of wanted to introduce Michaela to the new airflow technology. They call them clitoral suckers. And
I've been interested. Yeah, I just haven't had the money to like invest in anything for myself, because the last vibrator I had broke like 2 years ago.
So
it had fallen off the bed too many times.
I think the one that I described has the airflow. What did you call it?
It's airflow technology. They're basically called clitoral suckers.
Yeah, that's what the German one is. Just call it the German one.
Okay, all right. And Michaela, what was it that I bought you again?
It's the Satisfyer Pro 2.
Okay, and have you, not to put you on the spot, have you had a chance to try it?
Yeah, that's why I said it's my favorite.
Pretty awesome, isn't it?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite if I hadn't used it yet.
All I know is whoever decided to mimic what oral sex feels like. I just want to bow down, because you know it's more realistic. And I'm sorry, I've tried quite a few of the different types of clitoral suckers, and they are just absolutely amazing.
I'll be honest, it's kind of better than the real thing.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of interesting that you say
that's dangerous.
I actually do not like oral at all. Like, it is not on the menu, not something that I'm into, but for some reason that airflow technology signed me up. But
yeah, see, that's the thing. I gotta admit, I have tried a couple of clitoral suckers since I started doing reviews for Bed Bible. And they were the first ones I've tried. And pretty much 20 seconds and I'm gone. But I was blessed by Lord Carlo herself, who actually has this amazing line of sex toys that have been created by female and non-binary engineers. And this collection of sex toys is just out of this world. I'm telling you, they excuse me, they do things that feel unlike any other sex toy you can imagine. I got to try the Bocce or Bocce. I'm not sure. It's Italian for kiss. I got to try that one. And then the Ose 2, which is has got the airflow technology as well as a G-spot stimulator, which it isn't a thumping or a vibrating. It actually has a little finger that comes up and does the come hither motion.
It's so weird looking.
Yeah, Michaela won't touch it. Michaela will not touch it. It's
so freaky. I've never seen anything like it before.
It's so robotic. Weird. And this thing, you literally have to, you have to fit it to your body. And that's the problem that I always had, was finding a clitoral stimulator that actually fit my body, because the G-spot part would fit, but then I had to like get into odd positions to try to get the clitoral sucker part to fit. And that was one of my biggest frustrations with this one. I mean, this thing is a massive toy. And you really have to take your time. You have to find the right G-spot thing, and then you bend it. Then you concentrate on finding, getting the sucking part on you, and then you crimp it together. That is your personal private bend. I call it hashtag my bend. And I'm telling you what, ladies, this has got to be one of the most mind-blowing toys I've ever tried in my life. The come hither finger felt very natural, and it damn near blew me across the bathroom because it was wow. And what I like about it, they do use the airflow technology, but the opening that surrounds the clitoris is larger. So it covers you entirely, plus kind of pulls in some of the nerve-rich tissue around the clitoris. And inside, if you look, there's this little tiny nub that doesn't just vibrate, it thumps. So you've got this thumping that thumps the clitoris as you get the suction, as you get the finger going, come hither, rubbing your G-spot. It is out of this world. Out of this world. I love my job. And again, I want to thank Laura DiCarlo for sending those to me. I will forever, ever be in your debt, because that was probably one of the best orgasms I've had in years. Absolute years.
Now, question with that, like, do you have to, like, is it like a sleep number bed where like it stays that way, or do you have to like adjust it?
No, actually, once you get it bent to your specific body shape, it can stay that way.
Okay.
Because they send this nice, lovely little bag that you can put it in that's made out of recycled plastic. It's very an earth-friendly company, and a little drawstring. So once you clean it up after you're done, you just drop it in there, put it in the little bag, and slip it into your nightstand. So you don't have to worry about unbending it to put it back in the box. But I noticed with my bend, and like I said, I want this to be a hashtag across Twitter, hashtag my bend. With my bend, it fit right back in the box perfectly. Mm-hmm. And the boxes that they're made out of these are like treasure chests. They're so heavy. They're beautifully done. They're magnetic closed. And you can actually sit these up on your shelf and no one would know what it is, because there are no pictures on the outside and everything. So fantastic. I love their products. Yes, they are pricey, but I'm telling you, ladies, gentlemen, anybody who's listening, Laura DiCarlo's toys may be pricey, but I'm telling you, your orgasms will thank you, and it's worth every penny.
Sounds like you don't have to go through the headache like we've been going through trying to find a Venus butterfly that fits right. We actually did just recently find one, but yeah, the whole size difference is crazy. I think we went through three or four of them before we found one that actually hit everything.
Uh-huh.
And with us being a married couple and him growing up in a very conservative Asian household, I'm just introducing him to the toys, but boy, does he get excited when I hand him that little remote control.
Yes.
And yeah, that's definitely a fun time between him and I. He likes to torture me while we're in public and whatnot.
Hey, that's some fun stuff. I've never found anybody who would go that far with me to do the public thing, because I know they've got like the vibrating panties that you can wear that have like the soft flat. They're very flat, soft vibrators. Michaela actually has one, and they have this little remote that looks like a ring, and he can wear the ring on his finger, and you guys can go out and have all kinds of naughty fun during dinner and see if you can keep her upright at the table, keep her from sliding under the table.
I would like to say now that when my husband listens to this later, because he will, nope, I'm not letting you go there.
Why not?
Just for the record, Chris.
Sorry, Chris.
Don't even think it, boy.
Now, do they have an equivalent for men?
Yes, they do. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. The company, the Screaming O, has a it's a cock ring, but it is not a tight one. It isn't like an erection ring. It is a cock ring that fits comfortably around the penis, and you get the ring to wear on your finger, and you can do the same thing to him as he can do to you.
Okay. Well, then that I might be, if it's equal, I might be more open to it. Maybe.
Oh, here we go. I have to, if you do this, I have to hear this story. I definitely have to hear this story, because that would be interesting, especially if it's something that you at first didn't want to do, but when you found out, you can do it equally. I'm sorry. I always recommend those products. We don't have any type of business relationship with the Screaming O. It's just I had written for them for a while and had asked them, hey, I think I could do your descriptions better if I knew the quality of your products. And so they said, okay, we'll send you a few things. They sent me this big, enormous box of stuff. And I had so much fun going through it, seeing the high quality products. And they use a lot of things. They have a lot of things that are great and very, very cheap, great for like a weekend away where you use it once and just throw it away. And they're very well made. And you would think that something that is that inexpensive and made to just be tossed after use would be, really low quality, but they're not. And their high quality stuff is up there. They're great silicone products and things like that. But that the vibrating panties with the flat little vibrator that kind of conforms to your body. And then the cock ring for him that has the remote control. And yeah, you just switch rings and have a great dinner date.
Yeah, honestly, on the Screaming O thing, the missing bullet, the MIA bullet, is a Screaming O bullet that came from a C-ring.
Oh. And
it was one of the cheap little disposable ones, but you know what? That sucker just keeps trucking.
Oh, yeah. 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 Their bullets, does it happen to be one of their Voom bullets, the ones that rumble instead of buzz?
No, I think it's just a cheap old buzzer, because it was one of their cheaper C-rings, just kind of a disposable C-ring.
Uh-huh.
The sales girl at the sex shop actually tried to talk us out of it, but I was familiar with this product, and we just needed a simple bullet. Nobody seems to sell simple bullets anymore, like a $10 battery operated bullet. But so we got the C-ring. My husband isn't really a C-ring fan. He, for some reason, just can't keep the erection with the C-ring. So we just kind of used the bullet as play. But it's really getting him going, having the toys that we can use together.
Yeah.
Pulling him out of his insecurities. Like I said, we've got the Venus butterfly that has actually a double penetrator.
Oh, okay.
So nobody knows I'm wearing it, but he sure does. And he quite enjoys that. And he's willing to explore a whole lot more now since we've gotten a couple's toys. And now he sees things like Love Swings. He does work at Amazon and he gets those discreet packages, but every time he scans them, it tells him what it is on the screen. So
it's like, ooh, there's an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Now he's getting ideas thanks to the dark side of Amazon.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with that. I mean, you got to learn somehow.
Yeah, but as for the Screaming O products, I got to say it's just, it's a disposable bullet, but it hasn't been disposed of
yet. Yeah. Well, they actually, you talk about some companies not having the average bullet. Actually, Screaming O does carry regular bullets that you can buy. They're not disposable. They're pretty inexpensive. I do believe their Voom bullet is under 20, if I'm not mistaken. It may even be under 10. Don't quote me on that. But it's got several speeds, and the Voom bullet is different in that it doesn't buzz. It actually rumbles. So it's got a very low density vibration, which feels completely different than something that buzzes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you can head over to their site and check them out, because last time I was on there, I mean, I wrote all of their copy for those pages and everything, and got to learn a lot about their toys, and I quite impressed, have to say. The Voom motors are absolutely everything they claim they are. So great little bullet, inexpensive, and they do last. I mean, if your throwaway is still going, wherever it is.
Yeah, I'll probably need one soon if I can't find it.
Yeah. Hopefully you won't find it in your child's purse. You see my
granddaughter. Or in her backpack.
Yeah. God. Yeah. Look what Princess Safi brought for show and tell.
I'm going to race it across my desk.
All these little kids gather around. Wow. What is that? Is that a car?
No, really bring life to that first grade classroom.
Yeah. Okay, well, actually, ladies, we have gone on for just over an hour, so we're going to have to bring this little party to an end, sadly. Yeah, well, we're definitely going to have to do this again. Maybe we can get together next time, and we will do a video podcast, maybe even do a live one. I think that would be a lot of fun. And of course, we will all be in our pajamas when we do it, because this is the pajama optional podcast. And that was all my idea, simply because, hell, if I don't have to get dressed, I don't want to.
Amen.
Yeah.
You don't want to see me right now anyway, trust me.
Well, I'm not looking too good myself. I'm sitting here in a t-shirt and my rainbow sweats. So so this was a little bit better. That's why we decided to just do audio this time, see how this turned out, because the first podcast was just me by myself doing a video cast about the 10 commandments of sex. I don't know if you guys heard that one, but I had a blast, had an absolute blast with that one. So obviously, I want to thank you girls for coming on and being my very first interview show. I hope you had a good time.
Of course.
Thank you for having me.
So you think you'd want to do it again? What do you say?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If you're willing to listen.
Oh, I'm sure, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there sitting there saying, wow, you know, I wish my parents would have talked to me, or, you know, been a bit more open about sex toys and things like that, because a lot of people don't even, you know, get into that sort of thing until they're, you know, married and well into adulthood. And, you know, there's just things just to help you, you know, it's not deviant or weird or anything like that. It just, I mean, if your husband buzzes or vibrates, he needs to see a doctor. So that's why we have sex toys, because they do things to us that a human can't. And it just makes sex that much more fun. That's just my opinion.
They're fun additions. They're great additions in the bedroom.
Yeah. It's like icing. It's not the entire cake. It's the icing on the cake. The absolute.
But it can damn well be the whole cake and icing if you want it to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it damn well could be. Especially that, Ose2, that Laura DiCarlo toy, I'm telling you, that thing is the whole meal, the whole damn cake. Wow, what was that noise?
Genitals are going to become obsolete.
What?
Genitals are going to become obsolete.
Yeah, probably. Okay. Well, as soon as somebody as rattling something in the microphone. Okay.
Not me.
Well,
not me.
Well, that was really weird. So neither of us are doing anything. Is somebody secretly on our podcast crinkling Hello? Something? Okay. So, well, I want to thank you girls for coming on and sharing your intimate life stories with everyone. And I want to thank the listeners again for joining us in Bed with Beth Bible. Now for the end of the story spiel, we'd like for you to go to bedbible.com and you can shop any of our favorite products there. You can read our reviews and our best in tests, especially if you're shopping for a particular toy. We have pulled together all the stats on a whole bunch of different toys. So that way you don't have to go around site to site to compare them. It's kind of like a kayak for sex toys. of course you can read my blog, which is always a little funny and a little bit twisted and just so me. So, I invite you over to bedbible.com for that. And you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at bedbible. And you can find us on YouTube. Click that follow button, because as soon as we get up to 1,000 followers on YouTube, we will start doing these podcasts live. So that will be a lot of fun to do. But most of all, share this podcast with your friends, and especially you folks with kids. This is a good discussion to have with your spouse, especially if your kids are still young. You're trying to decide, hey, you know, how honest do we want to be with our kids when it comes to sex? I mean, you don't have to go full blown like me and, you know, buy your daughter's vibrators before they have sex. you know, that was just something I wanted to do to keep them from getting pregnant. But, you know, it's a good thing to, you know, sit down and talk to with your spouse, or even before you have kids, decide what you want to do, how open you want to be with your children and everything. So, again, I want to thank my guests, Michaela and Shara and Melissa, and, hope we can do this again soon. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in so we can keep you nice on the streets while being naughty between the sheets. And I hope you see you next time. Good evening. Boom.